It's straight up at 8 o'clock, and welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here on a Wednesday edition of the program. And as each Wednesday does, it brings us the good fortune to speak with President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, award-winning President and CEO, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome to the program this morning, Laureen.
Thank you. Good morning, Ed.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good. I saw a question I have for you. I was reading and always trying to prepare for this day. I always try and prepare for Wednesdays. It's a special day for me. And I was going over some articles that I just didn't get. Can you please explain to me the thing about NFTs? What are NFTs? Why have they become so popular? And why are a lot of experts saying that NFTs have big problems?
So NFT stands for non-fungible token, and it's basically using blockchain technology, and it becomes a blockchain asset designed to be unique. And so, and you know, it's definitely a disruptor.
Okay.
And but it's not fungible, meaning tradable. So unlike the U.S. dollar or any fiat currency, you can't really exchange it for another currency because it is this unique and not equal asset. So it is a little bit, you know, we'll see where this goes. You know, I don't know where this scene with cryptocurrencies, not sure where that's all going to go, but it is interesting that there is this hype and this interest, especially amongst younger people, to be in this. And I think that it's a trend to moving away from centralized currencies, as it were. But as I've talked about before, Ed, I don't see the central banks, not only our Federal Reserve, but other central banks just sitting on the sideline, while this continues to go on. At some point, I think there's going to be an intervention of central banks.
Okay. Because as I read it, it lacks a tangibility, doesn't it? There's something that's not tangible about it. And okay. I get
right.
it.
Right. And there are implications. You know, what about taxes that need to be paid on transactions? And I think that's where we're going to have the federal government step in, because, you know, they're going to want their tax money.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question that I might have you play both sides of, because you're the only person I know that could really answer this for both sides of the question. Recently, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said that he said this yesterday, the company is supportive of a rise in the corporate tax rate. And he's not alone. Rick Ryder, the chief investment officer for BlackRock, said that rolling back the Trump-era corporate tax cuts won't hurt the economy and could actually be positive for growth. Can you tell me how it could be positive for growth, and then maybe what the opposition might think of that?
Right. Well, there's this great debate going on right now, and it will be interesting to see how it all does play out, because, you know, there are these diametrically opposed views, meaning that, you know, during the Trump era, we had the lowering of corporate and individual taxation to spur on growth. And there is certainly a delayed effect with that. So, you know, the question, you know, from those in the camp of lower taxes promotes and creates growth, it took a while to get that going. And now here you have it. Now we're going to see that growth. From the opposite side, the idea that we need to raise revenue to increase programs, and through those government programs, i.e., let's just say infrastructure, then we're going to see job growth and we're going to see GDP growth. And so, you know, just like with everything, Ed, I would say it's usually not an either or. it's usually an and. I think there are different ways to accomplish growth, and having a balance of the two is probably a good idea. You can't, you know, we have to raise revenue, we have to have taxation. The question is how much. If it goes too far on taxation at the corporate and at the individual level, you certainly will stymie growth. You'll kill it. And so can we increase taxes without causing corporate America to decrease earnings so much that then we're, you know, in a bad way, or we go into another recession? And can we do it at the individual level and still have job growth and corporations that are doing well? So I think it's all about the balance there,
right?
At the end of the day.
It quite literally, when you were talking just now, I was in my mind, I was thinking of someone up on a high wire with that long pole, and it's a balancing act is really what it is.
It is a balancing out, and it's act, and it's tough to do. It's tough. The what I'd say is, what's hard for our U.S. economy is that because we have almost a constantly changing landscape politically, we can't count on any one policy for the long term. For instance, with the infrastructure package, it's banking on taxes for the next 15 years. And, you know, I am quite positive that we're going to have a change in tax policy within 15 years. So to count on something for 15 years to pay for something, I don't think is realistic, just given the way that we tend to volley on our political landscape and how we change. You know, America likes to somewhat be in the middle, but sometimes we go a little bit farther left, and sometimes we go a little bit farther right, and it's that kind of volley back and forth with policies that are constantly changing.
Right. We talked about this last week, and I brought up the point last week that there are some policies that are put in place that Americans just absolutely love and stick to and don't get reversed. And if we do find, in fact, that cutting the tax rate from where it was originally before the 2017 at 35% down to 21%, that if the one side would say that it failed in paying for itself, number one, it never reduced the deficit, number two, and there was an enormous amount of stock buybacks instead of reinvesting into jobs.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, right? But there's other ways of looking at it too, which is that, like I said, it takes a while for it to kick in into the economy, and then we had the pandemic. So I will tell you that the numbers that we're seeing now have a lot to do with the prior. It always is. There's always a lag, whether it was, you know, from Obama's administration forward, there's always a lag. From the Trump administration to Biden, there's always a lag. There's always a lag on policy, and, you know, from the implementation to where it actually impacts the economy. And so, you know, I am of the mindset that keeping taxes lower is good for business growth. The problem at this point is that we have so much debt that's now exceeded our GDP, that, you know, we're 100% of GDP on our debt, that is going to impact us for the long term. And to me, there's really no way out. You can't grow your way out of that. We have to increase taxes. So while I'm not a proponent of huge tax increases, with $7 trillion hitting the U.S. economy in 1 year, which, you know, I wasn't in favor of all $7 trillion going into the economy, but this is where we're at.
Right.
$7 trillion going into the economy, now how are we going to pay for it?
Right.
There's no real way other than taxation.
I have long said I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I just wanted to say that, therefore, investors need to be very clear right now, very, very, very clear, Ed, and that is that taxes are going up. I don't see any other way. And so the decisions that investors are making this year are critical, There are some major decisions that investors need to make this year to prepare themselves for the years ahead with taxation.
Okay. I want to talk about further into tax season in just a second. And I've always said, I've long held the belief that you and I sitting at a coffee table with a couple of cups of coffee can solve the world's problems. I really do believe
that's
that.
That's right.
I was going to ask you this last week, but I'm glad I waited. Jamie Dimon, who's very bullish on the economic recovery from the pandemic, is still concerned about the future of America. He sent an annual shareholder letter yesterday. And he wrote in part that the COVID-19 about the COVID-19 pandemic, the horrific murder of George Floyd, and the painfully slow economic growth of the past two decades are all symptoms of a broader problem. And he called that broader problem inept public policy and broad government dysfunction. And he ended it with the fault line is inequality, and its cause is staring us in the face, our own failure to move beyond our differences and self-interest and act for the greater good. My question is Jamie Dimon lining up a run for president?
Well, you know, he's been asked that many times. Okay. And he has said so far, well, he said over this last election, no. But to your point, it seems like he's certainly lining things up to where if he decided to run for the presidency, I think he would get a lot of backing and support. And we've already had the model with Trump as a business owner, a big business guy who then became president. That was really, quite a revolutionary event in American history. And Jamie Dimon loves New York. He's done quite a bit for the state of New York, revitalization. He's obviously, with J.P. Morgan, been incredibly successful as a CEO. And he has been all about corporate responsibility and how do corporations really move the needle and help with this idea of inequality. And he's made some bold commitments for the J.P. Morgan as far as how they're going to address some of that inequality. So all of that is to say, the man is 65 years old, and so as far as his age is concerned, he certainly has time, given our most recent two presidents being, quite a bit older. And so he could do it. I mean, I think the question really becomes, does he want to do it, and will his family support him in doing that? But he's got great ideas, and at the end of the day, too, can he have more of an impact being a strong leader in the private sector and cooperating with government on policies that could be effective policies?
Right. And I'm going to say that that you heard it here first, that if it's not president that he runs for, it's at least governor of New York. He's running for something.
Yeah,
I think so. That's me.
I don't know that governor of New York would be big enough for him.
You know what? You may be right. We talked about tax season just a couple of seconds ago. I'd forgotten. We got the extra month to file tax season, and you are like right in the midst of tax season right now.
We are in the midst of tax season. I was just on the phone yesterday with a doctor group of ours and talking to them about that there's still time for 2020 to put a retirement plan in place called a cash balance plan where they can put in hundreds of thousands of dollars and reduce their taxation. And what I was saying earlier as well, not only do we have time to go back to 2020 and look for the different tax breaks that still are you're able to implement for 2020. What I was saying about 2021, Ed, is it is a very important year because if we think that taxes are going to go up this next year, which I do think they will, then meaning probably implemented in 2022, then there are some things for investors to think about. For instance, a Roth conversion, converting IRA assets into a Roth where the money will grow and eventually come out and be tax-free over the long haul. So a Roth conversion can be a very good tax strategy. Another one is to look at embedded gains in portfolios to see, do you want to go ahead and take those gains this year in 2021 while we know what the tax rates are, and they may, in fact, be lower than going forward. So those are a couple of tax tips that I would say for investors to think about.
I got to tell you, Laureen, that is gold. That is absolute gold. Thank you so much for that. So where can we find you?
So on wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
All right. You're looking forward to tax season being over and then starting all over again?
Oh, it's a constant, right? It just keeps rolling into the next season.
Laureen Gilbert, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, and this has been the WealthWise Moment. As always, Laureen, thank you so much for being part of the program.
Thank you so much, Chad. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. 818, it's the Mornings with Ed Show. We'll be right back.